Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
To the sweet sounds of Kevin Bloody Wilson, it's Grand Final Eve, special edition of Hump Day 2020, because 10 years ago, one of us played in two grand finals, him and 43 others, football immortality, the last ever drawn grand final, and a week later, the mighty Pies turned over the Saints, and as a man of the people, he said, it's time for the people to ask me questions, or something like that. Hello, Dane Swan.
Hello, it's actually Grand Final EV. And
oh, yeah.
You asked me to answer these questions, so...
Yeah, I don't know if he actually volunteered.
No, I didn't. But here we are, so...
And he's working so hard today.
Walking down Cross Street at the moment.
Yeah, where are you, Dane? Tell the people where you are while you're working.
Well, I'm in my street, which well, I have no need to put any more street name, but I had to pop up to your mate's restaurant, Rebel Blue, to pick up some of their fine Madame cocktails. They're new, so it's picked up six so I can have a drink on my own at the other.
It can happen to get yourself ready for the big game.
He never
so
stops,
the reason we're
he?
Doing this is 10 years since. Yeah. I did say Grand Final Eve, assuming most people would find this on the Friday. But whenever you
find it on the Saturday, it's Grand Final morning.
It could be. Wherever you are in the world, it might even be Wednesday.
It probably
That's
is.
That's all it is. Somewhere. Absolutely no doubt about it.
Well, you can take your mask off now that you're home.
No, mate. I'm a stickler for rules. I keep it on inside. Kind of
doesn't
fuck around
any,
with corona, mate.
Don't want any germs from your missus, do you?
No. I don't fuck around from corona. No.
Very respectful.
So, Sam, you've got lots and lots of questions in front of you.
Oh, my God.
That
so
we
many.
Asked our people to ask. Swanee, you won't be surprised. Probably about 90% of them are just about the celebration of your actual premiership win.
Still going. That's why we didn't win another one.
Absolutely. So before we get to the questions, I just need to set it up a bit. The preliminary final is known as the people's final. And in front of 95,000, you just completely turned over Geelong. 7-1 first quarter, 13-3 first half. Did that make it easier, or what was your mindset like in the game, knowing that all of a sudden you're going to be a grand final player?
Did it make it easier to what? Sorry?
Well, sorry, it's knowing that you had the grand final ahead of you a week later.
We probably knew halfway through the second we were going to win that game against Geelong. It was a pretty – I think that's when the Collingwood chant started, so it was a pretty amazing – feeling, but you don't look too far ahead in those games, but we looked far ahead, a week ahead, probably halfway through the second and a half time, we knew we were going to win that game. It was probably the best quarter of footy we ever played the first quarter, so we flogged them, and we kind of knew that the flag was ours for taking if we wanted it, but we obviously did it the hard way.
And just one more on that game, because you mentioned the Collingwood chant. What's the noise like and the atmosphere like of a prelim compared to, at that stage you hadn't played in the grand final, but compared to a grand final day where it's often rightly said that it's a big corporate component compared to the fans' day of the prelim.
Oh, the prelim's definitely louder. There's no doubt about it. But to 100, especially Collingwood Geelong, or mostly any Collingwood or Big Four sides playing a prelim, there's 100,000 there, definitely louder. Just actual two supporter bases instead of, like you said, all the corporates and people who go along just for the spectacle or for meatloaf or, you know, for something like that. Yeah, so definitely the crowd is sort of non-comparable, really, towards the prelim and the granny.
I've got a quick question for you. Obviously, since retiring, have you been back as a spectator and actually enjoyed yourself? Because, like Ralph mentioned, the prelim is usually, you know, the one for the members and for the fans, and the grand final is a little bit more corporate, so the crowd's a bit more subdued. But do you get a buzz out of going back, knowing that, you know, what those players must be going through and enjoying the atmosphere as a punter?
I don't go back and get a buzz about what they're going through. Me and my man go every year. Before I started playing, or didn't while we're playing, and I finished in 2016, I didn't go. 2017, Richmond were in it. So that's 2018, I think the Pies were in it. So I went. 2019, Richmond were in it. So I went along again for Dust to watch Dust and Heath at GWS. This year, obviously, can't go. So I do go. A grand final weekend's a very big weekend. So I don't need to be starting on the piss. And I'm usually busy-ish Saturday morning. So I run around.
Talking to the people.
Yeah, give them a bit back. So I just go with my old man, and I don't really get off my seat because it's a fucking nightmare getting up, especially if you've played, especially when Collingwood playing, if you've got a profile, it's hard to go for a piss or to get a beer. So my old man would get a couple of beers at each break. I'd just sit there and watch it with him, and then I'd go be the Albion or wherever and start to turn up a bit. But yeah, I do enjoy it. Probably the part where I think about myself is just when they run out. That's when you, like, nice day, 100,000 people, the roar, like, just that feeling you get when you first run out grand final. That's probably the bit where you go, fucking, that was actually pretty cool to play grand final day. Apart from that, once that goes, the ball bounces, I'm not thinking about me or as a player. I try not to do that in any game because I try to watch just as a supporter now. So I think too many players sit there and think, oh, fuck, I could be doing that, or I'm better than him, or I should be doing that, or I'm spewing on that wasn't there. Because if you think like that, you don't enjoy the game. I just try to enjoy the game for the game itself and as a supporter. That's it, really. Not as a fucking has-been or could have been.
And when you were playing, would you say that, obviously, perhaps not you, because mentally you're not necessarily as swayed as some other people, would you say a prelim mentally is harder to win than a grand final? Because after, you know, if you miss the prelim, you don't even get a chance at the flag. But when you're in the flag, when you're in the grand final, it's so close. Which one would you say is kind of mentally harder?
No, I don't subscribe to the theory that a prelim's harder to win. Fucking, they're all hard to win. You against the best 8-7 other sides in the league, and the grand final's usually against the other best side. So in a prelim, you're playing against the third and fourth best side. So technically, a grand final is harder to win because you're playing against a better side. So I don't subscribe to the theory that the prelims are harder. It might be some relief after you win because you're in the granny, but would you rather lose a prelim or a granny? Probably a prelim. Oh, we get paid to be in the granny, so that probably helps. But grand finals are way harder, I think, because all the pressure is on you grand final day. Prelim, other supporters are watching other teams, and you might not necessarily, the casual footy fan might not necessarily be watching you, but grand final day, everyone's got eyes on it, even if you don't like the footy, because you're at a barbecue or you're at a fucking pub and you get dragged along it even if you don't like it. So you are watching it by the fact that you just want to be social. So,
I think
grand finals are harder to win. I don't think I lost the prelim. So there you go. I think I've only played in two or something, but we won them both times.
Fair enough. Hey, so what about how did Mick approach the week from a player point of view as well as appreciating the grand final parade and that type of build up? Because what's the saying? You can't win the game on the Friday, so no point being all stressed about it.
You're really testing my memory now. How did they approach the week?
Well, how did you approach it?
I can't remember. I was busy grand final week. I had the Brownlow on the Monday night. I won the coach's award, so I had to be there on the Tuesday or Wednesday night. Then I accept some other awards. I think the media, like during the day on my day off, I was in and out of like ABC and radio shows, winning or accepting awards in the Friday grand final parade. So my week was flat out. Which is very unusual for me. Contrary to what people think about me and my social life, I'm very much a homebody unless I'm going out to have a crack. Otherwise, I'd much prefer to stay at home and do nothing. So it was different for me. But you have to enjoy, you know. People try and say, you know, just try and it's a normal week. Just try and prepare as you would if it was round one or round two. But, you know, the reality is it's not. So you should enjoy it. You should enjoy the parade, enjoy, soak up the atmosphere of grand final week, because you might not ever be back there again. So we try to enjoy it. And obviously we get 20,000 people at training. So it's very hard to apply a normal week when we're getting that more people to train than some clubs do get the games. So just try and enjoy it. Obviously on the track and stuff, you keep things very simple, you know, during the week and the fucking team meetings and on the track. And, you know, the captain's run was a bit different because we had to be at the parade. So we changed in the afternoon, I'm pretty sure, after the parade. But, you know, you just got to keep on the track normal. But around the atmosphere, why wouldn't you enjoy it? Because you might not be back there again. So you got to soak it up and have a good time and have a smile on your face and enjoy it, because, like I said, you might not be back there.
So one last one from me before Sam's got the listener questions. The premiership, Collingwood premiership before yours, 1990, Lee Matthews famously changed everything by no streamers and nothing in the rooms. When players walked in, he made a rule, nothing up there at all. Previously, all the grand final rooms were all decked out, and he said, I want to make it as normal as possible. What do you remember the approach pregame of Mick's? Was there a chance to enjoy it, or just try and treat it like normal, or what?
When we got in the rooms.
Yes,
I can't remember. No, I think it was pretty normal.
Yeah.
Everyone has their own methods to prepare for a game, so everyone just did that. You just did what you did every other week. That's all the stuff you keep normal. But even then, it was a bit different because you have to go out and warm up a lot earlier or a lot later. It's one of the other two because of the entertainment.
Yeah.
So I think we warmed up early because then we had like about half an hour before we ran out again. Where usually you get in there, you come out and you get out on the ground, then you come back in about 5 or 6 minutes, you're out again. Where this one you had like a 45-minute wait or something, so it was just a lot of anticipation. It was like, fuck, get me out on the ground already. But you just did what you did. I was pretty relaxed. I'm usually pretty relaxed, so I never thought about the game until the second the ball was bounced. So I just did that, talked to Mace, and then that was about it. So Mick kept it as normal as possible. There's nothing that sticks out, so I'd imagine there was no, you know, smoke and mirrors behind the walls, as Travis Cloak would say, but behind the shadows, I mean. But but it was pretty normal, mate, from what I can gather, which is, but that's not saying much because I can't remember.
All right, Sam, our people have asked.
We've got a few questions here, Dane. Some of them are quite obviously questions. Others are statements that I think they want your opinion on. So we'll start with the first one's from Patrick, generally wanting to know, Swanee, what motivated you at the elite level to play, particularly in grand finals? What was your motivating factor when it got to the big games?
To win. It's the motivating factor. You want to win. But I was motivated intrinsically a lot. I wanted to be the best player on the ground every game I played. Now, the way I act and my relaxed attitude and stuff, people might have thought that I didn't, but I had incredible pride in my performance. So I wanted to be the best player on the ground every second training. I couldn't really give a fuck. I used to, people would play on me, and I'd let them push me out of the way, push me under the ball, outmark me. Preseason games couldn't give a shit. Like, people push me off the ball, or I remember one day I pulled out, ran back with a fly in the preseason game, and Goddard, Revolt was storming out, and I just completely just ducked it and stopped. And Goddard just abused me, and I was like, mate, there's no fucking way I'm going back with the fly in a preseason game, buddy. I could not give one fuck how people abuse me pulling out of a preseason game. Like, there's no interest in doing that. So, I was intrinsically motivated about just wanting to play well and not wanting to let down, my family and not play a bad game. That was why I was motivated to play well.
These next couple of questions are in relation to the game that drew, so the draw game. The first question is from Mitch. What were the plans for Goddard and Hayes in the lead up to the replay?
Hayes, not so much. I think I went to Goddard a quarter time or half time or something like that. That's why I had 11 tackles. I had 11 tackles all year. I had 11 tackles in the granny. We didn't have a tag, so me, Ball, and Pendles would just go do our thing. But Jones come to me, and I didn't have a great start. I finished with 21 and 11 and a goal, so I ended up in the best. But about quarter time or half time, Goddard was getting on top of us, and I was just, Mick says it was him, I say it was me, but we'll just call it even. Goddard was getting on top of us, so I was like, mate, let me go to him. Or, we talked and said, mate, I'll go to him, and it created 2-on-1 and we'll stop him. And we did. During the regular season, I'd be like, mate, you can stick that up your ass. I'm not going to anyone. I'm going around to get the footy, but. In a granny, you obviously want to do whatever you can to win. So, I went to him and nullified him a bit. He's obviously one of the best couple of players in the league at that stage. So, went to him and tried to stop his influence on the game. Hayes, I think just Pendles and Bailey, just 1-on-1, just a couple of hard nuts just digging in. But we worried a bit more about what we could do in the midfield because we thought we had the better midfield.
Next question is from Blake Cook. What was your pre-game feed, and did you approach your feed before the game any differently?
No, same shit. So for years, I had 2 nights before I'd eat like just a pasta, spag bowl, whatever, and then the night before I'd have chicken risotto. I wasn't so much, I have to eat these or I won't play well. It's just they're two of my favourite meals, and really the only time I ever cooked them was during the footy season, so I'd only eat them sort of like 25 times a year. I wouldn't ever cook risotto outside of footy season, so I just had them and I really enjoyed them. So that they were my two meals. Day of the game, if it was a night game, I'd have lasagna for lunch and I'd have like Milo cereal for breakfast. If it was a day game, I'd just have Milo cereal and that's it. And just like have a heap of Gatorade and like water and stuff. But then towards the end of my career, my routine was not to have a routine. Like I just, just didn't really care about it much anymore. So I just mixed it up.
From Barb's 788, do you reckon if there was extra time in the first one, you would have won?
It's very hard to know. People say to me that St Kilda had all the momentum and stuff like that, they would have won. But you stop. Yeah, 5 minutes. 5 minutes each way, and the game goes so quickly. Well, and we had a track record. We won semi-final in overtime against West Coast in 2007. So, I'd like to think we would have won. But I guess if there was odds, we probably would have been longer than St Kilda after the way the last quarter went in the draw. But I still would have backed the team. We had it's just all come down to who would get the ball out of the midfield and locked in their front half. And I believe Ball, Penelope, and Swan and Jolly probably would have got the job done. So, but in saying that. 5 minutes each way, it's a coin flip really, isn't it? Mm. But I'm glad we went the extra week and got it done. Mm.
From Brendan Palmer and Liam Perkins, what is the first thing that went through your head when the siren finally went?
Which game?
Of the
question.
Draw.
This is the draw one, yeah.
Yeah, this is the draw.
I'm going to have to I'm going to have to tell Mick I can't play next week because I'm going to Vegas. I was booked on my on the flight to LA Saturday morning, so I was, oh, shit, I'm in a pickle here. So that was the first thing that went through my head, to be honest. What am I going to do? What am I going to do there?
That how fucked were you out of 10?
Pardon?
How fucked were you out of 10 as far as just physically completely rooted? Because we heard stories of lots of players just on that couldn't even get up.
Oh no, it's okay. Yeah. Like I was beat, but like I left. You know, it's weird. People say like you leave everything out there, but like I generally left everything out there most games.
Yeah.
Well, unless there's a blowout, like then obviously like in the last game, the game we won, I didn't. Look, I had more energy left because we flogged them. And I was like, well, I remember Did saying, boys, whatever you do at three-quarter time, just don't get hurt. We've got some celebrating to do. So, you know, we bounced around like boundary umpires in the last quarter of the replay so we wouldn't get hurt. But, we give it all on the Saturday. But, you know, I was knackered. But a day or two, you know, by Wednesday, Thursday, we were running around fine again. But yeah, it's just the nature of way the game went that it was so close and you had to crack in late. And it's probably more the nervous, pressure. You know, that was probably the nervous energy. That's what I was before. The nervous energy is probably you're more fatigued from because it's just such a letdown that you draw. But like the physical energy, yeah, you saw, but you bounce back when you got a grand final the next week, no problems. But it was more the mental pressure that you were fatigued from.
We have another question on this topic, sorry Sam, but so I'll ask it. What was your memory of the famous Milne sideways bounce?
I was at half, well there half forward, there half back. What's my memory of it? Well, I thought Jono got the rotten bounce, to be honest. The bounce on his point and bounced straight over his head. So And by Milne would have had to have been delved in from Street Fighter to grab that with a long arm. but yeah, clearly if that ball bounces the other way, we've got a minute and a half to get down and kick a goal. So the story might be very different. But we might have bounced back at 1-2011 because it might have been burning a bit more. Who knows? So listen, it is what it is. It was the ball bounced the right way for us. We finally got a break. But in my head, Jono was the one who copped the rotten bounce.
From All Good, what do you remember of Mick's halftime words in either or both of the games?
Nothing. No. Most players would tell you they don't remember much out of game day because it's all about, it would have been X's and O's, just like that. I think in the replay, in the draw, it was more about kicking the ball to Sam Fisher and to Fish and Gilbo. Like, just stop bombing it because I was taking a heap of mocks. I think that was more it. The replay, I can't remember. I think we're up a fair bit, so I think we're all fucking talking to ourselves. But game day, yeah, you're internally worried about the game that, mate, he could get up there nude and do a song and dance and you fucking wouldn't remember it. So I think a lot of players are like that. You're just so focused on your own individual performance and what you're doing and what you need to do to help the guys. Like, I'm sure you have like your own individual line meetings. I'm sure the midfield meeting was, you take it, all right, geez, we've got to do that. But it's more about just fucking get me back out there. Like, goes like that. Like, halftime just goes like that. By the time you get in, fucking sit down, fuck, have a drink, blah, blah, blah. And you get back out there. So nothing. Not many people do remember meetings. You remember the odd one where something like funny happens or something real defining happens, but I can't remember either.
These next few questions are regarding the win, obviously. And this question you've covered a little bit, but I'll ask you in case there's anything else you wanted to touch on. From Daniel Macri, how did you turn a draw into a big win?
If you're talking about on the ground, I think we played a lot better and we just didn't give them – we didn't boot the ball into Fish and Gilbo, who were just taking mocks and running the ball out. So we lowered our eyes a bit and kept the ball away from, you know, their great key backs. But I think it was probably, it just went right for us. I think we were the best side all year. So we Oh, I think we deserve to win it. St Kilda might argue that, but we were probably mentally probably in a better headspace than St Kilda, I would say, that we were ready to go. Probably that, and just it's hard. Just I think things went right for us early in that game, and it probably broke St Kilda's spirit early in the game, like the smother, just a couple other things, and then yeah, we just got away from them. The hardest thing to stop in footy is momentum, and we just got it, and that was the end of the Saints.
From Nathan, how did Leon Davis cope with being dropped after the first grand final, and how did the team react to Presty ruling him out?
Well, you have to ask Madge that, how he felt, but yeah, it was horrible. Madge was one of them, Collingwood's most loved. He's a freak on and off the field. I had lots to do with him because me and him were running partners for a while there down the back. had the same work ethic on the track. But yeah, man, no one wants to be dropped. You don't want to see any people you're close with or any players dropped through the grand final. It sucks. I don't think anyone takes it well, really. He hasn't been to any of the...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We're back. Go for it.
Yeah.
Leon Davis.
Yeah, so Madge, yeah, it's incredibly disappointing for him. What can you do?
Did you say he hasn't been to any... You were saying he hasn't been to any events?
Not to the premiership reunion that we have on our own. Now that might be because he doesn't live around here, I'm not sure, but I think he's invited and that's his prerogative. He doesn't feel like he wants to, that's fine, but he's certainly welcome. Yeah, listen, you'd have to ask Madge. We felt horrible for him. He had an unbelievable year. He might have been all Australian that year, but I had an unbelievable year. But that's the nature of the beast. Unfortunately, he can't play 23 and he was the one who missed out. Goldie played his role that next game, first goal. Mum had 81-1. You're welcome. I caused that. So, yeah.
Presty?
Missing out.
Yeah, that was the other part of the question.
Nathan Brown coming for him. Incredible teammates. Why all the first-year players get his number because of how selfless he is, and he's an unbelievable teammate. Knew he couldn't go, they probably still would have played him, but he did the right thing, said he couldn't go, and Nathan Brown played and did a great job on Rewald. So, yeah, hats off to Presty.
Do they get medals? Because this is my question. Do they get medals? Because they technically played in the grand final. No.
Interesting. Another thing is, I don't know why assistant coaches don't get medals because they're there all year, but that's weird. The couple of assistant coaches, the three other assistants, maybe not all the development and that, but you think the back, mid, and forward coach would get a medal. They don't, which is weird, but in the NFL, everyone gets a ring. NBA, everyone gets a ring. I think more people should get medals, but I don't know why. But I'm only the 22 and the coach get a medal.
From Asatori, did you get an extra urn for the replay?
Yeah, about 30, I think.
And Sam, have you noticed how vague his memory is about some footy issues? But when it comes to this, sharp as a tack.
Plus the odds on Goldie.
Should have been about 100.
considering of how much money the AFL made.
Yeah, exactly. From James Todd, how happy were you when you kicked that goal in the replay?
Yeah, extremely happy. I hadn't done a great deal, so to kick one was nice. Oh, that's the moment where I knew we were completely home. You know, you never want to look ahead, you never want to get too carried away or look too far ahead in the game. But once I kicked that, I think we all knew we were home. So, yeah, it's nice to have a moment in it. In a grand final, you know, that gets replayed because it's a goal, and obviously they replay goals and stuff. So it wasn't a special one, but it was a goal. So it's nice to have a moment in a granny. So very happy.
This is a statement. My dad had money for Trav to kick the first goal. You owe him money for your accident from Kent.
Yeah, no, I've had that a few times, but I've had just as many as thank you for goal. Thank you for doing that. So Goldie got the first goal. So
yeah, he was paying better money. From Daniel Ryan, did you know you had the Saints by the balls when Heater ruined Nick's life with that smother?
Yeah, we knew. Yeah, we kind of figured it was going to be a good day. We didn't know that we were home, but we kind of all looked at each other and went, yeah, this could be our day. It's going to be a good day if we keep going. I certainly wouldn't have got that smother. I would have given up. Oh, I guarantee I would have stopped. Or so I would have maybe kept, you know, the pretend try that a lot of players do. That they just pretend to try and run.
Mm.
But Heath fucking kept going. Maybe his ADD kicked in and he charged out and he got the smother. So smother of the millennium, he's called it, which is nice.
Well, yeah, the next question from Jackson Thomas was, what are your genuine thoughts on that smother?
Like, it was incredible. Like, I'm not lying when I tell you, there's no way I would have smothered that ball. I would have stopped. So that's why Heath is an All-Australian backman, because they didn't give up, and that's why we were so good. That's why he's so good. Yeah, but incredible smother. And that's also a moment that gets shown forever. Poor old Nick, I don't think, wouldn't be wrapped with it, but I'm the Collingwood faithful.
From Nick Sacco, how far into the replay before you thought the game was won?
Yeah, guaranteed when I kicked the goal, to be honest.
Yep.
Well, I thought, yeah, we're about 40 points up or something. So, yeah, this is...
That's it.
Well, we'd have to fucking have 10 men on the field to lose this now.
Now, Dylan, I'm not gonna murder your last name, so I'm gonna call you Dil G. How stiff were you not to win the Norm Smith in the replay?
No, well, I've got revisionist memory, so yes, I was very unlucky. I absolutely should have won it. I didn't deserve to win it. I was in our best though, but I wasn't. There was plenty of people ahead of me. I sacrificed my role for the team that day.
Did you?
Just on the biggest day, just sacrificed. Well, I'm a team player.
What a man. What a guy. From Daniel Marcy, was Daisy stiff not to win the Norm Smith?
Yes. Daisy and Steele were both very unlucky.
And still.
So Pendleton deserved a win. I think we had a pretty evenly balanced team. Pendleton was obviously great, but there wasn't a huge standout, you know, where someone had 35 and kicked through. You know, it wasn't a no-brain decision. So, cards fell. Pendles, well-deserved. But, yeah, Pendles and Tomo and Steele could probably count themselves a bit unlucky too.
From TE, was there any lip to any of the Saints boys when the game was finally won?
No. Like, you battle all year and, you know, you give shit on the ground. But once the game's over, there's no point rubbing it in their face unless, you know, someone's really in the up. But, shake hands, we walk past you and then go see your teammates. That was about it. So, no bad blood between anyone, I think.
From Lee Molden, how good was kick-to-kick in the last 10 minutes of the game that you won?
Yeah, awesome. We obviously knew we had it, so, like I said, just trying to play like boundary umpires and just kick it to all our mates, which we used to get in trouble a fair bit for kicking it to our mates too much. but, yeah, that's when, you know, people ask, would you rather win by a point or win by that much? You know, winning by a point would probably be more exciting in the moment because you're fucking scrambling. You don't know when the siren's going, then obviously you win. But winning by that much, you can actually look around and sort of take the foot off the gas a little bit and just soak it all in. Whereas when if you're winning by a point, you don't have time to soak it in because you're busting your ass trying to – you're stressed trying to hold on to the game.
Mm. Bunny from Oz, who ended up with the footy?
Did. Did end up with the ball in his hand when the siren went. I'm not sure anyone took the footy. Nick Maxwell's sneaky like that. So if anyone, I'd be a betting man that Maxi would, but he probably would have sold it by now. So but Maxi is probably the man, I would say.
From Jackson Knight, did anyone drop the cup post game?
I'm sure it happened, but I can't remember it happening. But I've no doubt it did. But no, not to my knowledge, it didn't get dropped.
From Paige, how do you measure it? Was it? Have you ever had a greater day in your life?
Not sport wise. Not that I'm aware of. It's a pretty amazing day winning a premiership. But nothing jumps out, so I'd imagine that would probably be up the top of the tree at the minute. Probably.
From Slim Jim, how many beers were you offered in the celebratory lap, and what do you remember of it?
None, I don't think. All those tight-ass Collingwood supporters, I think I was offered one. So I probably would have drank it. But the lap was okay. The lap, all right. It doesn't do it much for me. I'd rather, be in with the boys, celebrating with friends and family in the rooms. But the lap was fine. It was nice to show the cup to all the supporters who stayed and supported us through the year. So that was nice. But the lap's cool. It's not the highlight of my celebration, but it's it's a fun thing to do, and nice to to take a couple of snaps with the cup, with the crowd in the background, which was great.
All right, I'll pick up the pace here. Smarties, or just anything off the top of your head here, or either celebrations. From Brett Kennedy, how long did the party last?
Just finished. Tuesday morning, because we all flew out to the other, all the other ends of the world on Tuesday.
From Browntown, who got BOG for the celebrations?
Apart from the obvious ones, the blokes who come out of their shells, I would say Steele, Dale, and Brent McCaffer. They were the three, apart from like your usual suspects.
From Liam Jackson, did Lee Brown put away a couple of counter meals in the few days following the big dance?
A couple. Had a couple of pillows.
From Paizo 1, who celebrated too hard and couldn't get back up for more?
No, I think everyone did a pretty good job. Nick Maxwell's another good one. Your usual guys who, a lot of people skip the silly Sunday, like your normal, the guys who you would expect to miss silly Sunday did, but everyone sort of, dug their heels in and had a good crack, which was important to see.
From OJ Angel, how long did you sleep post game?
Oh, I didn't. Zero.
From Dander, who was BOG from the Pies in the celebrations that wasn't a player?
I literally think first time we slept was on the plane to LA. The celebration that wasn't a player.
Yeah. It was the best celebrator amongst your group, wider group.
My friends or staff at the club?
Staff, etc. Maybe a president.
We ran into some trouble that night. Someone at the footy club, so Ed was under the pump. So probably Dave Butterfield was good. Disco was good.
All right, Sam, you want to wind it up?
Last three. Looking back, Dane, from He Easy, did you miss the Adidas boots?
Did I miss the Adidas boots? Well, Adidas, if they want to re-sponsor me now, I will, but if not, they can get fucked. If they want to jump aboard this podcast, absolutely, I love them. I was wearing Adidas in 2011. I won the Brownlow, and I was on a deal, which was not much money. And then coming off the Brownlow, I think, I'm going to get a bumper deal here. They offered me less money than what I was on after I just won the Brownlow. And during the year, I asked for a pair of boots, and I was, I must have just about been their most high profile client. They sent me a pair of boots, two different sizes, and one had a 26 on the back. It's fucking not a way. It's not a way to treat your best client, your best player.
No, it's not.
So they got the ass quick smart. Then went to D Dora for the rest of my career, who were great.
Awesome. I'm going to swap
once
these
again, back. Once again, Sam, have you noticed? make about $40, but when it comes to an earn, absolutely.
Nothing is for nothing. Exactly. I'm going to swap these last two around. Dane, why has it been 10 years since the last win?
Well, they got extremely close a couple of years ago. Well, the AFL is set up so you win one every 18 years, really. That's how the drafts and that's how it's set up. That's how ideally they like it. So it's not they're not hard to win. Although they're not hard. They are very hard to win. I think early on in Bucks' tenure was a problem, obviously. And that's well documented that we went shit house for a myriad of reasons. And I think Bucks would acknowledge that. And he's obviously turned himself, done a 180, turned himself around into a remarkable coach and a person where he was not a very good coach early on when I first got him. So that probably wasted 4 or 5 years. And now all he can do is be back in it. And since 2016-17 or something with prelims, granny got beaten the final this year, but it doesn't count this year. So we're not far away. We'd want to win one in the next one or two. Otherwise, I think we might slip back down the middle of the pack for a couple of years. But yeah, it's very, very hard to win. And there's a couple of good sides out there at the minute.
And final question from Hassip. Do you miss the comrades?
Yeah, well, absolutely. That's, you know, the one thing I don't miss playing. You know, we'd like to play forever, but the reality is no one can. So that's gone. But the one thing you do miss is like the locker room talk and fucking around with the boys, like interstate or, you know, just the bullshit that you talk and the camaraderie that you get. Live and sleep, you know, with 45 boys every, 6 days a week for 15 years. That's what you certainly miss. You know, you don't get that in any other workplace. If you did, you'd be sacked, suspended or fined or be on the front page of a paper if you talked and carried on the way you do inside the walls of a footy club. And that suited me to a T. So that's why, probably another reason why I don't have a fucking job. So no, I will never change. But yeah, absolutely I do. But my good mates who I've cut out for you, I see them enough anyway. So it's fine.
Well, Swanee, so you've got Collingwood's got the best supporters. We've got the best listeners. Got some fantastic questions today for a little special walk down memory lane 10 years since the 2010 grand finals with the great Dane Swan and the great Samantha Richards.
And the fantastic Thanks, Ralph Horowitz. Thanks, guys.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.